my prayer time this morning, I kept thinking about how Jesus, through the psalmist, said that God would prepare a table for me, even in the presence of my enemy. And he meets my need. And I'm just grateful for all that he's done and all that he does for me every day. And, you know, the enemy wants me to get caught up in everything but what God's word says. And so I've been, you know, I pray, God, I thank you that you started a work in me and you're going to finish it. Amen. And I'm going to be what God, you know, I'm going to be what the Lord wants me to be. And with his help and with his grace. Amen. We've been talking about being fruitful in the last, because I think it's important that we be fruitful. And we want our lives to be fruitful. We don't want to just live and die and never fulfill God's purpose. You know, I think one of the dangers that we have is to start trying to fulfill a purpose in our life that God didn't give us. We looked at somebody else and tried to pick up their purpose or their cause or to be like them. And the truth of it is, we just want to be what God wants us to be. And, you know, over the years, when you're young, and I was once, Eliana, I was young once. And I tried to, not force, but I was always trying to get people to do what I believed was the right thing, would be the right thing to do, you know. And it was really funny because when there was times when if you was on the pastoral staff or you were part of the team or whatever, there was requirements. You need to be here, you need to do this or whatever. And it was so funny that I pastored in Shingletown for 13 years and nobody ever said a word. And when I left, and then all of a sudden people were saying that, you know, I was a control freak and, you know, all these demands that he's putting on us and, you know, and how he, you know, and nobody had ever said a word to me about it. And one of the things that when I walked away in that moment, I made a decision that everyone's going to have to decide for themselves what their priority is. I'm not going to try to set theirs. It's up to you. Whatever your priority is, you know, church is your priority, great. If it's not, that's up to you. It's up to you. It's not up to me. It's not up to me to set somebody's priority. I know what my priority is. And I know in my life what I need to do to fulfill God's desire for my life. And, you know, I know Ron's claimed that scripture for his own, but I actually believe that he told me to seek first the kingdom. Not after everything else, but the first. And, you know, some people, they'll say, well, seeking the kingdom don't mean, you know, and then they'll go into some spiel that justifies whatever they're doing. But the bottom line is, for me, is to put for God first in my life. And don't misunderstand me. I don't think if I get up on a day and I don't read my Bible, God's not going to kick me out of the kingdom. You know, I don't believe that. And my advice to you is if you didn't read your Bible today, well, read it tomorrow. You know, don't get worked up about any of it. Just start, stay in there. And because one thing I've learned over the years is just because I didn't read my Bible today don't mean I forgot everything. I still know what it says. You know what I mean? And I don't think it's the Bible, the word I read, it's the word I do. And so I just want to be busy about the Father's business. I want to set my own priorities. And I want to be found faithful in the kingdom. You know, this is a strange world in which I live in, you know. I know I sound old, but it's not the world I was born in. It's a different world. And I just want to make sure my life stays fruitful as I grow older. Amen. I don't want to just, you know, shrivel up somewhere and just go away. I want to be fruitful as long as I'm on the planet and give God a chance to work through me. I want us to look at Genesis chapter 1 again, and let's look at verse 26. Last week we got talking about it. We're going to go back, and that is that fruitfulness comes out of our relationship with God. Right? I'm talking about the God kind of fruit. You know, we all have fruit in our life. Some of it could be good and some of it could be bad, right? If you're not a Christian, then you have some fruit that, you know, we're not always proud of. And so when we say you can't bear any fruit without God, that's not exactly accurate. We can bear fruit, but is it worth, you know, is it worth it? It will take you the wrong way. But it says here, it says, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. And in the image of God, he created him male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them. And I love that. Then God empowered them. God empowered them to succeed. God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful. Multiply. Fill the earth. Subdue it. You know? I believe there's something in your life you need to subdue. You know, I mean, there's a will and purpose and plan for your life that God wants you to subdue. He wants you to have it. And so, you know, we're trained as Americans, you know, get an education, get a good job, you know, put enough money away, you know, and nothing wrong with any of those things in themselves. But if we're not careful, we can make our pursuit of what the world says is valuable and lose sight of the kingdom of God. And so we want to properly balance our life in the things of God. Because God wants us to be fruitful. You know, I believe there's people in politics that God put there. I thank God he didn't put me there. But I believe there's people there that God put. I believe there's people in charge of companies and doctors and people in places that God put there. And God called them and ordained them. And I have a brother-in-law who was a lawyer, and then he was a judge for a while. Now he sits on the parole board for the state of California. And for a while, he was the Inspector General of California. But everywhere he goes, he wins souls. We have a judge here in town that he led to the Lord when they were lawyers together in Bakersfield on the district attorney there in Bakersfield. Because wherever Bob goes, he wins souls. That's what he does. You know, he has a real heart to win souls and to lead people to Jesus Christ. And over the years, he's had the opportunity to do that over and over again, because wherever he goes, he takes his testimony with him. And I believe God put him where he's at to bring, because I'm never going to be there. You know what I mean? So God needs some Christians there. He needs Christians on construction sites. He needs Christians in banks. He needs Christians everywhere. So no matter how we choose to live out our lives in this natural realm, we always enter into that place knowing that we're here to represent Jesus. Amen? We're here to represent the kingdom of God. And so we want to do our part. We want to have that spirit and that attitude that will bring glory to God and to his kingdom. But he said, I want you to be fruitful and I want you to subdue. So there's a place in our lives where God wants us to be fruitful and to subdue. Okay? And so we want to fulfill that. I want to read, it's not in my notes there, Brother Scott, but could you go to Psalms 92 and verse 12. Psalms 92 and verse 12. You know, God wants you to be fruitful. He wants you to, your life to be fruitful, to flourish. And I believe with everything in me that God wants you to have more than enough in your life. And be a blessing to others, and he wants all of that. And so we want to participate with that. But look what he says here in Psalms 92 and verse 12. It says, the righteous shall flourish like palm trees. They shall grow like the cedars of Lebanon. And, you know, you may not understand that, but the cedars of Lebanon, now a lot of them has been, you know, turned into buildings, but they were huge, and their limbs would reach 70 feet across, and they were huge, and they were a wonder in the world we live in. In fact, the Lebanon trees were those that were cut down and helped build the temple in Jerusalem, and you know they were a symbol of strength and beauty and incorruptible, because cedar is more resistant to insects and more resistant to bad weather and all that. So it's a representation. And he said that we would grow like the cedars of with the cedars of Lebanon. It says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of their God. They shall still bear fruit in old age, and they shall be fresh and flourishing, to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. And so my desire, my goal in life is, as I grow older, to still declare that God is upright, that he is, that my life is fruitful. And, you know, I know that sometimes we get a mentality and a mindset that, you know, well, we're older and we're this or we're that. And don't misunderstand me. That's, you know, that's up to you. But I believe that we can still be fruitful as we grow older. I believe we can still fulfill God's will. But we got to decide younger to live our life in a way that when we get there, we're physically, mentally, emotionally, but most of all, spiritually, in a position and place to be a blessing to the world we live in. I want you to go over to Psalms chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1 and verse 1. So he said, be planted in my house. And so, you know, I don't think it's just my attendance to church. I believe that being planted in God's house is being planted in his will, being planted in his purpose, being planted in what he's building. Jesus said, I will build my church, amen, and the gates of hell will not. It's like when I pray in the morning, I don't pray, God, help me build your church. I say, Jesus, you build the church, but help me to do my part, amen. The Bible says we're laborers together with him. You know, a laborer and a journeyman are two different things, right? I'm not a journeyman, I'm a laborer. He said we're laborers together with God. And so we're laboring with him, and we want him to build the church. He says, I will build my church and the gates of hell. And we know gates represent the schemes or the plans or the things of Satan. You know, in Bible days, the gates were the place where the elders would gather and make plans for the city. And you'd go to the gates, and that's where the law would be imposed. And it would be, that's where you would get your answers. If you had a dispute or you had something going on, you'd go to the gates of the city, and the elders were there. And through the elders, you could be ministered to by them and plans. And he says the gates of hell, in other words, the schemes, the plans of Satan, we will overcome them. He says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. So Satan's schemes and plans and desire will not overcome me. Amen? Because my life is planted in the kingdom of God. It's planted in the things of God. And because it is, I have an expectation of having a fruitful life as I grow older and be fruitful in the kingdom and fruitful in my family and fruitful in my health. I plan to be fruitful. You know, one of the things that I think's changed in the last few years of my life is I get up every day and live that day. You know, I when you're 20, you got plans, man. Well, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and I'm going to. But I have a plan for tomorrow. I'm going to get up tomorrow and this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to read the Word. I'm going to pray. I'm going to spend time with God, and then I'm going to spend some time in my. On my physical man, and I'm going to spend some time on my soul, and I'm going to get up and I'm going to take that day and I'm going to sow it and I'm going to invest in it because I want my life to be fruitful as I grow older. And the thing is, you know, when he said take no thought for tomorrow, he wasn't saying don't make a plan for tomorrow. He was saying don't take the worry, the fret, or the stress of tomorrow. You know, you can get so stressed out for tomorrow. And yet tomorrow, you know, it usually never turns out the way you planned, right? If you have a job, it usually doesn't go the way you planned. So you can't take the stress of it. You got to learn to just trust. And I used to, one of the statements that Gloria Copeland made years ago that struck me, and she said, your success is in your consistency. That's what she said. She said, your success in life is in your consistency. And one of the most challenging things, I think, for a lot of us is to be consistent. You know, it's pretty easy to make a plan. It's something else to work the plan. You know, I'm going to start this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it. No, you got to come to that place because it's in that consistency that is your success in life. And so, you know, I can't learn the Bible in one day. You know, I have to do it day by day by day. Amen. Line upon line and precept upon precept. In Psalms chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And that's, I would say, the word of God, right? In the word. It says, and in his law or his word, he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, who brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaves also will not wither, and wherever, whatever he does will what? Prosper. Right? The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the ways of the righteous, but the ways of the ungodly shall perish. And so I read these things and I think, Lord, I want to be that fruitful man. And he always brings his fruitfulness down to the Word of God, to having the Word in me. And you know what's where it says here, delight thyself in the Lord, and said, and in his law meditate day and night. You know, this is how I see the meditation of God's Word day and night. When a situation arises in my life, do I answer it with the Word or do I answer it with humanism? How do I answer? And you have to get the Word in you enough that it's the first thing that comes up. When they say a plague's coming, automatically you say in Psalms 91, no plague shall come near my dwelling. Father Jesus, you told me in Exodus, he said that if I would serve you, that you would take sickness and disease away from me. You would remove it from my life. And so what you got to do, when I think about meditate on the Word day and night, is no matter what comes up, the Word of God is the first thing that comes up in my life. I don't think I got to go around trying to make myself think, okay, think of Psalms 91. Think of, you know, no. You got to get it down in your heart that it just comes up as a natural thing. And to me, that's the difference between the people that succeed and the people that don't, is that some people have it up here, but it never comes out. Trouble comes and the Word never comes up in them. It never rises up in them. When they say shortage, instead comes up, my God meets all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Because greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. In other words, the Word just rises. And it takes effort to get the Word into you like that. It don't just happen. You gotta feed it into you. And it don't happen overnight. You gotta be committed to the Word. If you want your life to be fruitful with the things of God, you gotta be committed to the Word, and you gotta commit your life to it. And you know, it's boring. Okay. You know, one thing I've learned over the years, and I don't mean this to be ugly, is I don't have to live with your problems. I live with mine. I don't have to live with the sickness that comes into your life. I don't have to live with the poverty that comes into your life. I don't have to live with your kids when they go off the rails. I don't have to do it. Don't misunderstand me. I might have to pray. I want to pray for you. I want to believe with you. I want to do that. But I'm not going to live with it. You're going to live with it. So when I would encourage you, get the Word. It's like even today. I mean, my boys are done grown. And every day, my prayer time is, Lord, I thank you that my boys will serve you all the days of their life. And sometimes I don't like everything I hear or everything, but I'm not changing my confession. As for me and my house, we're going to serve God. My grandchildren will not be collateral damage in a crazy world. And you got the Word, to me, the Word is the difference. When the word becomes alive to you, logos is this. What comes out of my mouth and my spirit is the rhema. We live by that word empowered by the presence and the Spirit of God. You know, it has power. It said the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing to sunder the soul and spirit. And it is a divider of the joint, a divider of the, what is it, the joint, and is a discerner, I'm not quoting it just right, but is a discerner of the thought and the intent of our hearts. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I will not sin against you. Amen? And so if I want my life to be fruitful, if I want to be blessed, as could I get the first of that in the Amplified, please? That one, Psalms 1. I was just going to go on, but I want to go back. I think, listen to what it says, blessed, happy, fortunate. See, that's what blessed means. Happy, fortunate, prosperous. Enviable is the man who walks and lives not in the counsel of ungodly, following their advice, their plans, and their purpose, nor stand submissively and inactive in the path where sinners walk, nor sit down to relax and to rest where the scornful and the mockers gather. But his delight is and desires are in the law of the Lord, and on his law, the precepts, the instructions, the teachings of God, he habitually meditates, ponders and studies by day and by night. We're on a roll. We might as well keep going there, Scotty. It says, and he shall be like a tree firmly planted and tender by the streams of water, ready to bring forth its fruit in its season. Its leaves also shall not wither, shall fade or wither. And everything he does, and I love that, everything he does shall prosper and come to what? Maturity. Not so the wicked, those disobedient and living without God are not so, but they are like the chaff, worthless, dead, without substance, which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked, those disobedient and living without God, shall not stand justified in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Those who are upright and in right standing with God. Amen. That's good, Brother Scotty. But the point is that what a promise. What a promise from God. Friend, you got to settle it in your spirit. This is either God's word or it's not. And that was where I came. I came to that place because I grew up in church and we talked about the Bible, but it didn't seem like that many people were actually trying to live their lives by it. And I had to finally come to a place, this is either God's word and true or it's not. And I came down on, it is God's word and it's true. Therefore, I'm going to live my life accordingly. And then I began the journey. Go to Joshua. All these scriptures, I didn't write it. There's a whole different set of scriptures up there. It says Joshua chapter 1. And let's just start with verse 1. You want to succeed in life? God told us how to do it. You want to be fruitful? God told us how to do it. But we got to be willing to do it God's way. You know, did you know the greatest, to me, the greatest hindrance to your success is not sin, it's compromise. It's compromise. Because some of us, you couldn't get us to do that, but we compromise on it. And usually we compromise because we don't want to offend, right? We don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. We want people to like us. But you didn't have to say it that way. Okay. But the thing is, compromise is the enemy of what's best and what's good. Look what it says. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. That's God's eulogy for Moses. That's it. So it says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise. Okay? Go over this land, this Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Now I want you to think about that. He's giving it to them. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea towards the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. And no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do. Now catch that. That you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. Now I want you to notice that. God never said he would make your way prosperous. He said you would make your way prosperous. Listen, friend, if you won't do it God's way, God can't make your way prosperous. It's amazing to me how many Christians think that God's going to step over his word and bless their life in a state of disobedience. If he does that, then he's contradicted his scripture and proved and did not treat the people in the past correctly. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand me. I don't think it takes long for you to repent. I believe you can repent pretty quick. And God ain't going to hold your past against you. But we got to align ourselves with God. Align ourselves with God. And you will make your way. You will make your way prosperous. Then you will have, and I love this, good success. He didn't say success. Friend, I could name names of people that the world says was successful, but it wasn't good success. We can do movie stars and rock singers and, you know, people in places of authority and wealthy and whose lives are disasters. You know, I mean, if it's just about money, they're a success. But every other area of their life is a disaster. That's not good success. Have I not commanded you to be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. But he said, in this book of the law shall not depart out of what? Your mouth. But you shall meditate in it day and night. We're back to that. And like I said, I don't think it's just sitting around, you know, trying to think about scriptures all the time. I think it's about having that word in your spirit in abundance so that when a situation, a circumstance comes up, you immediately, the word is the first thing that comes up, not the last. When sickness comes, you don't say, where's the doctor's number? You say what the word says. Now, you may end up having to call, you may call the doctor, but start with the word. Start with God. Start with the things of God. Go over to Romans 10. So, isn't that interesting when in Psalms and now in the book of Joshua, he said that it's the people who meditates in the word. It's the people that keep it in the midst of their heart. Right? They keep it where it's supposed to be, number one in their life. But look at what it says here. Let's start with verse 8. No, verse 6. Let's just go with verse 6. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this wise. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend in the abyss, that is to bring up Christ from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your what? Mouth and in your heart. So he says the word of God has to be two places. It has to be in your mouth and in your heart. And you know what? I don't know if this is accurate or not, but I think the word starts in your mouth before it gets in your heart. What I mean is I think you have to start saying it before it's really in your spirit. But if you'll begin to say it, it'll get down in your heart, and then it'll start coming out of your heart instead of out of your head. See, a lot of us, we say what the Bible says in a controlled environment. Hey, I'm around a certain person. They expect me to say this, so I say it. I say church things, I say Bible things, that's not coming out of your heart, that's coming out of your head. When you're under pressure and it comes up out of your heart, you're not even thinking, the situation isn't what you're thinking on, you're thinking on the word. You're thinking, no, the promise of God is this. And like I said, when I fell and I got hurt real bad, I had hope. That hope wasn't coming out of my head, that hope had to come out of my heart. Because when I looked at things from the natural, there was no hope. The doctors weren't giving me hope. The reports weren't giving me hope. They were negative. They were, you know, and so I had to look somewhere else. I had to look in my heart. And what do I believe in my heart? What do I really? You're a spirit being that has a soul or a mind. It was coming out of the inside of me. And every time somebody would bring a report that maybe this is God's will for you to be like this, or maybe God, no, my spirit would repel from that thought. No, Jesus died on the cross, bore my sickness, carried my diseases, was broken so I could be made well, was broken so I could be whole. I am not accepting any report that's going to contradict God's word. You know, you have to fight. You got to be strong. And you know what? You got to be courageous. Because the world around us, they want us to fall into their belief system, accept whatever comes down the road, but that's not our place. Our place is to accept the word and do what the word of God says. He says, if we will confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, or Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. Let me back up, because the main point I read right over. It says, what does it say? The word is near thee, in your mouth and in your heart. Now listen to this. That is the word of what? Faith, which we preach. Now, what is a word of faith? It's not Tulsa. It's not Texas. What is a word of faith? That's right. It's a word that is based on confidence and trust in God. That's all it is. It's not a something sneaky that only people in Texas have. That's not what it is. It's to speak with confidence and trust in God. That's what a word of faith is. So when Paul preached to these people, he preached to them a message that was to build trust and confidence in their hearts towards God. God is faithful to his word. God can do all things. God, he's building confidence in them and in their walk and relationship with God, and that God wants to fulfill his word in their life. So he's saying, in your mouth and in your heart, it should be filled with the word of confidence and trust and reliance upon God. So we're not talking our fears. We're not talking our doubts. We're not talking our symptoms. We're not talking our circumstances. We're talking the word of God. And somebody said, well, what will people think about me? Until you get to a place you don't care, you're going to be limited. I found out that most people ain't thinking much about you at all. They're thinking about themselves. That's who they're thinking about. And you know what? The only time they're bothered with you is something you say that convicts them, especially if they're a lukewarm Christian. The most dangerous thing to the body of Christ are lukewarm Christians. And they're the easiest to get offended and mad. Because when you're, friend, when you're built up in God's faith, you can give people a little grace. You don't have to get mad at everybody. You can actually see that, no, they're not perfect. I'm not perfect. We're none perfect. So we should give each other a little grace, a little space. And that's actually spiritual. But when you're offended all the time and think everybody's got to live up to your expectation, you're carnal. You're natural. Because the truth of it is, who are you for me to live up to? I'm supposed to live up to God. I mean, I need to bring my vision up to living for God. You know, I've shared this with people, and I've had people in the church that were, you know, every once in a while they wanted to let you know that they didn't like something you didn't do or whatever it was. And I just said, listen, just because you don't like it, don't make it sin. Not everything people don't like about you don't mean you've sinned. And I don't read in the Bible where my place in the body of Christ is to make you happy. I don't see that. I'm here to make Jesus happy. And I believe if I make him happy, there will be a few people that are happy with that. And I can live with that. Because, you know, it's like I had somebody make a comment about something I said that they listen on YouTube. And I said something and it offended them. People I know. And they're good people. And I love them. And I think they're awesome. But here's the deal. I'm not trying to build a YouTube channel. My heart is, and this may not, you may not like this, but my heart's fine right here. I'm not looking for fame. I'm not looking for so many people on YouTube. I'm not looking for likes and all. I'm not. I'm happy right here to come down here and preach the Word of God to whoever shows up. I'm not trying to build me a YouTube. So if you don't like what I say, don't watch it. I mean, it's that simple to me. Now, don't misunderstand me. If I say something that I need to change, then I need to change. If God tells me, you quit that, Dennis, you don't, and I pray about it in my prayer time. God, I don't want to say things just to shock or just to be mean or just to, I don't want that. I want to say what you want said. I want to encourage people. I want to be a blessing to people. But on the other hand, sometimes we just need to say something. And that's the reality of it. Now, don't misunderstand. These people are wonderful people. They may never listen again, but that's up to them. They're very mature Christians. They're fine. But my point is, it's not. I'm not trying to build a YouTube channel. I'm not trying to build a platform. Word of Life, the church, this church. It's good for me. I never have tried to. If you'll notice, my name is not on the sign. I've never let my name be put on the sign. It's not about me. It's not about Reverend Dennis Tucker. The only one reverend is God. That's the only reverend I know is God. And I'm not the best pastor. What I mean is, I get short with the sheep sometimes. You know, a good pastor never gets short with the sheep. He just on and on, and I get short. So I could do better. But my point is, my heart is to preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. And I want you to come to this church, and when you leave this church, I preach to you in trust in God. Your hope is in God. It's not in our society. It's not in our government. It's not in the medical field. It's not in the industry, the food industry. It's in God. Your faith is in God. Your trust is in God. Because that's the word of faith. Building trust in God. When you truly trust God, there's nothing that can come up in this world that can defeat you. You know, we just read it, that God gave them the land. But if you read Hebrews chapter 3 and chapter 4, they never could enter into the land. It was given to them, but they never entered into it for two reasons. One is their hearts were full of unbelief. And the second one was they never ceased from their own labors. So God help us. You know, I want you, the word in you, in your mouth, the word in your heart, it's the word of faith that I preach. Build your confidence in God. And I don't know, it's easy to get distracted, isn't it? Or is it just me? It says in verse 9, it says that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It says, for with the heart one believes. It didn't say with your head. It said with the heart you believe. You know, you can be believing with your heart and have some doubts try to go through your head. I loved what Brother Hagin said. He says a bird can fly over your head, but you don't have to let it build a nest in your hair. You know, there's sometimes stuff passes through. You know, it's like, don't give it a place. Say what the Word says. Amen? Say what God says. It says, with the heart one believes unto what? Righteousness, that right standing we have with God. And with the mouth, confession is made what? Salvation. Now, down here I wrote the word soteria, which is the word for salvation. It means to rescue or bring safely, to deliver. It means health. It means to save or saving or soundness. In the Hayford Handbook, it means prosperity, happiness, general well-being, and temporal and spiritual success. And he said that that comes through our confession, what we say. You know, I've been in church a while, and I'll hear you preach a message that you can have what you say, and then people start saying really silly things. No, well, say what the Bible says. That's sufficient. Just say what the Bible says. What do you need? Well, if you need health, it's in here. If you need financial blessing, it's in here. Whatever you need. That's why you need a study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Because if you don't rightly divide it, you're going to get off in left field. And you don't do well in left field. You end up somewhere you don't want to be. So you want to make sure that the word, it's in your heart and it's in your mouth. I'm talking about being fruitful. We want to do it God's way. We want to do it God's way. Amen? That's what this is about. That's why you came on Wednesday night. You want what God wants. You know, you want the things of God, right? Go to Proverbs 3, verse 1. This will be it. I got 5 minutes. Proverbs 3 and verse 1, it says, My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep it. Keep my commands, right? Keep them. Why, O Lord? For length of days and long life. And peace. We need some peace, don't we? It says, in peace, that they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them around your neck and write them upon the tables of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. And he will direct your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes, and fear the Lord, and depart from evil. and it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bone. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruit of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than the profit of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days are in her right hand, and in her left hand is riches and honor. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are what? Peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all those who retain her. And you know what wisdom is? Wisdom is the ability to use the word correctly. Wisdom is the ability to use knowledge correctly. That's what he meant. He said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing. You know, I don't know what you want out of life, but I don't need no religion. I don't want to be religious. I don't need religion. Religion is man trying to get to God, and Christianity is God has come to man. The goodness of God is in your relationship with God, not in your works. It's in your relationship with God. Friend, I don't know. I've been married. I keep telling you how long I've been married. I don't know why. But the goodness of my marriage comes out of the relationship with my wife, not out of how long I've been married. You can live 60 years with somebody and be in hell. The goodness of the marriage comes out of the relationship. It's the same with your children. If you and your children are alienated to each other and their children are in trouble all the time and you're always trying, the relationship is going to be strained, it's going to be hurt. But if there's a good relationship between you and your children and they're serving God just like you, man, that's sweet. That's a wonderful relationship. And that's what it's all about, is the relationship. Why did God say, marry who you will in the Lord? Because if you don't marry a Christian, you're going to have, even then, if they're just wannabe Christians or pretend Christians or lukewarm Christians or half-baked Christians or whatever they are, it could still be miserable. But if both of you are really serving God and really going after the Lord, there's no divorce in that. There's no failure in that because you're both striving after the same thing, right? It comes out of the relationship. It comes out of the relationship. So I want the best for everyone in this room, but I know this. I only have so much control. Your life will be what you choose it to be. I try to encourage parents, get your kids in church, get them to know Jesus, because without Jesus, what kind of life are they? And maybe you don't care, but I care. I care about how my kids live, my grandkids. Amen. It matters to me. All right, let's stand.